Morning, and it's so good to be back with you. Thank you for your prayers as we were away, and you know, good things have been happening here. Just a couple of quick reminders. If you did not get your picture taken for our 40-day prayer emphasis, if you'd just go out into the lobby. Alicia's taking pictures after this service, and she said she'd likely be around after second hour too, but if you could go ahead and do that, it's going to help us know the people we're praying for and put names and faces together. Also, this coming Saturday, the men are meeting for breakfast at Dale's at 8. Is that right, Tony? All right. So that, we haven't been able to do that for more than a year, and it'll be a wonderful opportunity to connect with other men in the church. It's a sweet time. It's more than breakfast. Breakfast is not even the real meal. It's our time in the presence of God, encouraging each other. So that's Saturday at 8 at Dale's. I'm sure they've missed us. So I want to thank the teens. That was beautiful, and that was powerful. And, you know, more so because I know you. I know the lives that you're living. I know you love the Lord. I know you're seeking Him. See the beauty of Jesus in you as individuals and in you as a group. And Joanne and I had the joy of being with them the Wednesday before we left. It was, as you saw, you read in my email, it's just such a special time of them sharing the Word of God, ministering to each other, sharing testimonies, praying for each other. Your teens are in good hands with Steve and Rebecca. And please remember the teens in prayer. Joanne and I have mad love for the teens of our church. And we know that the future is in good hands with the youth as they're growing in Christ. All right, so what I've done, I've asked Daniel Godby to walk us through what our 40-day time is going to look like. Now, he has chaired the ministry team, which has developed the things that you will see in your packet, in the various prayer activities that will be a part of our 40-day emphasis. They have worked really hard, none more than Daniel. Daniel's our vice chairman, by the way, and he serves at Pastor Jonathan's right hand in not only the Nueva Vida Iglesia, the Hispanic congregation, but in the New Life Network. So on that committee, and you guys help me out if I leave somebody out was the chairman of our deacons, Asa Crandall, Greg Fryer, Alfonso Lugo, Antonio Gonzalez, and who am I forgetting? Tony Cloud. These guys did just yeoman's work, stellar in all the details. And this is really a dream coming to pass. And I am asking you to please, dads, especially husbands, lead your families to fully embrace this season in our church. Because the goal is for us to not just be blessed, not just be encouraged, not just be inspired, but to truly be changed. For this to be a turning point in the history of our church. For God to raise up not just missionaries and pastors and church planters, but godly men and women who will make disciples for the rest of their days and raise teens like these. So, Daniel, I'm so grateful to you. Many hours behind the scenes, and you are a godly man. I so appreciate your leadership in the network and what you mean to Jonathan, but to us also. So if you'll come and walk us through what these days are going to look like. Thanks, brother.
Good morning. One of the things that the pandemic has done as we've been doing services this last year has made me stationary. I used to roam around and wander around. Because of the live stream, because of the way the camera is fixed, I've kind of fallen into this pattern of being fixed in front of the pulpit over this last year and a half. Not sure that that's something that I like. But I would say that there's probably for all of us many things that this year has brought about, some that have been good and many that have been challenging. One of the things that I find as we come to a beginning of a new initiative as a church for 40 days, say with me please, 40 days. 40 days. In the Bible, the Bible talks a lot about 40 days. 40 days symbolically meaning a time of testing, a time of trial. And I think this is very timely and very good for us as a church that we now, after a challenging year, coming back, I feel like we're really on the verge of something new and coming back after a time when things have kind of changed. Maybe that's me, but I feel like, gosh, I mean, the sanctuary is full. Here we are. And I think that the 40 days of prayer and of fasting is exactly what God wants for us in this time. And so I want to share with you what we've been thinking and praying about. And at the end of our time today, really everything that you need to know is in this packet. And if you don't have this, I know there's some people that are ready to give you one. Every individual needs one of these. So if you just raise your hand, don't be bashful. Just raise your hand and say, I missed that when I was coming in. Somebody's going to come and hand one of those to you. Everything is in here. And the guys that Pastor Doug mentioned, who have been a part of this planning team with us over the past few weeks, and it really has just been a few weeks that we've been working on this. It's been pretty quick. All of them would say, we probably haven't done everything we need to do to be ready. And every one of them would also say, and that's going to be okay. It's going to be okay, because this, at the end of the day, is about going before our Father and praying and doing something different, being creative and learning something new about prayer and about coming before the Father. One of the things that I've held on to as I have gone through these past few weeks of planning and prep around prayer is the fact that I feel so insufficient and such a beginner in so many ways in the area of prayer and fasting. Maybe that's you too. You could say, gosh, I recognize that I desperately need to learn and grow in the area of prayer. And I want that. And I've found this quote from Thomas Merton that I want to share with you. Thomas Merton, it was a giant in contemplation and prayer. And if anybody knows about prayer, it was probably him. And he said, in regards to prayer, we don't want to be beginners. We don't like being beginners. But let us be convinced of the fact that we will never be anything else but beginners all of our life. There will never be anything else but beginners all of our life. And why is that? Because there's so much to discover in the presence of God. There's so much to discover in prayer that we'll always feel like beginners. And I know this team, as we've talked and as we've begun to share with Amy and Lupita for the children and Steve and Rebecca and Alfonso for the youth, and we begin to see how is this going to permeate all of our church, all of us probably feel like beginners in the area of prayer. But be encouraged, because this is about us going through this together as a church. And so I want to walk you through, there's three things in this packet that I want to share with you so that you are informed about what's coming and so that you know when and where and how you can connect. There's parts of this that are for each of us as individuals. There's parts of this that are as families. And there's also some parts that are as a body, as an entire congregation. But most of it really is about personal priority, personal intentionality ourselves as individuals. And so the first of these things that's really about you as a follower, as a believer, and as a part of the body, as an individual, is this prayer guide. And so you'll see this prayer guide that says ourselves on the front. Week one. So this is for the first 7 days. We decided as a prayer team and through some study of what other churches have done that it would be really powerful to move through a sequence of themes, weekly themes for our prayer time. And so we're going to do this from the inside out, like the song says, from the inside out. And we're going to start with ourselves, and we're going to move towards the out. And so the first week, you'll see, is about our own lives. The second week, you'll see, is about our families. The third week is about our ministries, how we serve and work together as a church. The fourth week is going to be about our neighbors. The fifth week will be about our world, and the sixth week will be about our future. In the hall out here, you may have walked up and down the hall and seen those same six themes out there. This prayer guide is for you to keep with you and to have somewhere that you can use this during the week. That may be your Bible, that may be your refrigerator, that may be your car visor, or wherever works for you. A piece of paper may not work for you. You may want to take a picture of this with your phone and have the picture. That may be an easier way for you to access it and to see the prayer things and the things that we're doing that way. So you'll see in the inside of this prayer guide, you'll get one of these each week that'll be different. Focus for this first week is, just like I said, about ourselves, our lives. We're going to start with ourselves and prepare our hearts for what's to come. You'll see here that there are some individual and family activities that are listed here. These are the things that we're asking each of us to do this week. I'll go through those quickly. The first one you saw and you did as you came in to have your picture taken for the prayer wall. The prayer wall, those six themes are marked. There's places marked in the hall out there. As we go through this these 40 days, we're going to be posting things out there as we go through there. One of those things will be the pictures. I know there's a lot of people in our church family that we maybe know by face, whether it be in the Spanish part of our church or the English part of our church. We may know them by face, we may have seen them, but we may not know their names or who goes together. Oh, I didn't know that person goes with that person and as a family unit. So we'll get to see the pictures out there in the hall. That'll be really cool, especially for someone who hasn't been in the church that long like me. I'll get to see names and be reminded of names and not feel bashful when I say, gosh, I can't remember your name. Now I can go look in the hall, in the prayer wall. So have your pictures taken. If you haven't done that, please do it on the way out. I know some people don't like to have their picture taken, but please do that. It'll be really helpful for others to be able to see your picture up there. Those pictures will be in the entryway next week. As you come in, they'll be out on tables. You'll be able to get those and stick them, post them on the prayer wall in the hall. So use this prayer guide. You'll see that each day of the week there is a focus, a scripture. It says read and pray. So simply read that scripture, look that scripture up, read that scripture, pray and think over it, and pray and think over the prompts that are here. There's a little guide, some things for you to think about. The cool thing about this is very basic, but the cool thing about this for me, I think, is that we're all doing this. And the power of all of us praying this and reading this each day, God knows our hearts and knows and is going to work in us as we do this together. I'm excited about that. So use each one of those. There's something for each day. It's very, very, very brief, very short. I would imagine that it won't take you very long. You can be creative and use that and expand that in any way you might want. Maybe you see a theme here and a topic and it reminds you of something else, a book or a podcast or a study that maybe you're doing, and maybe that can take you to something else. So use the guide. Pray and decide on your personal goals for prayer and fasting for these 40 days. The team's desire and really focus and goal of this is really around three things in prayer, really around three things. That each of us would pray more frequently, more deeply and more informed. More frequently, more deeply and more informed. So as you think about how you might pray more frequently, more deeply, and more informed, think about what some of your prayer and fasting goals are for these 40 days, and share them, if you would. You can summarize in whatever way you feel comfortable doing in this testimony card. This is the second of the things that's in your packet. Each week, there'll be one of these testimony cards. And these are the things that go on the prayer wall in the hall. And this is the way that we can pray for one another and share and have some accountability and prayer for one another about what we, how God is leading us and what God is doing in us and how we are focused and growing. So each week there'll be a couple questions. You'll see the questions for this week. During these 40 days, my expectation is that. During these 40 days, my personal goals for prayer are. So it could be as simple as my goal for these 40 days is to pray daily for 10 minutes, pray twice a week with my family, pray with someone, make a phone call to someone in the church and pray with them during the week, whatever that may be that your goal for yourself. During these 40 days, my personal goals for fasting are, and we're going to talk about fasting here in just a minute. And then at the end, a kind of a generic place for you to put prayer request. Thank you for praying that I will, ... So each week, the questions will be related to the theme. This one, of course, is related to ourselves. So this is about you and your goals and your expectations and your prayer requests. So you can post these on the prayer wall at any time. If you do it today and you want to post it today, that's great. If you, like myself, need some time to write that out and to pray about that, take it home, think about it, pray about it, write out briefly one sentence or whatever it may be, a couple bullet points, however you want to share that. Bring it back on Wednesday. Bring it back next week. That's totally fine. But post it in the hall. Alicia has worked really hard to help us have that prayer wall out there marked, and so you'll see exactly which one goes with each week. So week one. Okay. In your prayer guide, you'll also see the group activities. So this will work also kind of as a calendar, as a bulletin or calendar for what is also happening in the group activities. We've planned a number of experiences or encounters, activities as an entire body, as an entire group. Some of those will be also together with our Hispanic part of the church. Some of those will be combined. Some of those will be separate. You'll see for this week, so each week we'll be announcing and sharing in this prayer guide what you can also do to get involved as an entire church. So Fresh Encounter service is going to be this Wednesday right here. This will be a time also focused in on the theme for this week. So as we come together in a Fresh Encounter service, we'll be crying out to God in relation to our own hearts and our own lives, repenting before the Lord, coming before the Lord, asking the Lord to move in us first as we begin these 40 days. So that will be on Wednesday. And then and next Sunday, we'll also be offering a class. As we said, we don't like to be beginners, but we feel like beginners when it comes to prayer. And so we want to also offer a class next Sunday that will help you gain some confidence and learn some new things about prayer. Praying the scriptures. How is it that I take a scripture, a passage of scripture, and pray that? Pray from the words of the Bible. And also, how do I gain confidence in group prayer? This is real. I'm involved in prayer, groups of prayer all the time, every week. And always when it's my turn to pray, there's always kind of that, oh, what do I pray, Lord? What do I say? And so this is an area where we can all grow, and so we want to offer a class also for those of you that would like to take part of it next week. Amen. Right, Greg? Amen. He and I have had some good conversations about that. So that's that. The prayer guide and the testimony card. Okay. If you have any questions about those things, you can talk to, as we said, talk to Asa, talk to Tony, talk to Greg or myself, Alfonso, Antonio, around those. Fasting. As we began the preparation for these 40 days, and we said, let's have a time of 40 days of prayer and fasting. And I thought, oh, great, prayer. That's awesome. We can do that. And I thought, and what about the fasting part? What is that going to look like? How are we going to practice fasting as a church? How are we going to come to the practice of fasting as a part of our prayer lives and as a part of our 40 days? And so I want to share with you, I want to take a few minutes this morning to use this guide that's here and talk through some of the things that the Lord has been teaching me and reminding me about fasting. Before we do that, will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we're desperate for you. As I think about the 40 days ahead of us and the different areas that we're going to be praying through our own lives, I recognize how desperate I am for encounters with you, how desperate I am as your son, as an individual, Lord. I recognize in my family areas where only you can change the course of things in my family. I recognize in our church powerful gifts and graces, and also areas where we're lacking as a church and crying out to you for the ministries that are in our church. I look to my neighbors and the things that they're going through and desperate to see you move in them. Lord, I look to our world and the things in the news, a world that's broken and hurting and hurting each other, and we're desperate to see your grace and love throughout our world. And I look to our future as people and as a church and recognize the great potential and great plans that you have for us. Lead us to those things, Lord Jesus. Teach us now and remind us about fasting and how we can take a step forward and move to another level in our prayer lives through fasting, Lord. Teach us. Give us an open heart, I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to take us through briefly this prayer guide. And this, I'm not gonna read this or go through everything that's in here, but I want to kind of push us in the direction of where this takes us. And then I would ask that you would use that at home in your own personal devotion time or prayer time as a family. It would be wonderful. Go with me to Joel, the book of Joel, chapter 2. And really, the things that I want to say and share with you that the Lord has shown me really are from this passage in Joel 2. So in chapter 2 of the prophet Joel, in verses 12 through 19, I'll give you a second to find that so that you can read along with me. Joel 2, verses 12 through 19. Rend your heart is the bold title above this section. Rend your heart. Verse 12. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders. Gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the portico and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the people, where is your God? And the Lord's answer in verse 18. Then the Lord was jealous for his land and took pity on his people. The Lord replied to them, I'm sending you grain, new wine, and olive oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. Here in Joel, we have a picture of a desperate people, a people that are crying out urgently to the Lord, a people who you see the actions and the words and the things that are here, and this isn't a come casually before the Lord and do some activities and some stuff. This is urgent. This is a life or death, urgent, crying out to the Lord, please save us or we will perish. A people, I think, that recognize that it's now or never. It's blow the trumpet and bring everybody together, because now it has to be the time. The context for this in Joel is a plague of locusts that have come through and are wiping out everything, and nothing is left. You can imagine a people in this time who lost all the crops, all the grain, all the vineyards, all the oil, everything that they had was lost. And so a people that are crying out, the cattle have nothing to eat. The people have nothing to eat. And so they assemble a fast as a people. The title, Rend Your Heart, really points to the fact that this is about the inside. This is about the heart. This is a heart issue. Rend, when the Bible uses the word rend, it's about tearing. It's about tearing to pieces. Rend your heart. And you've seen and know the custom where they would tear their garments, tear their cloth as an act of, what's the word I'm looking for, repentance, or an act of humility, where they would rend their garments and tear their garments. And this is saying, rend your heart, not your garments. This isn't about casually approaching God. And I think that this points to where we are as a church. That this isn't about an activity or something we can do, or I got involved in that, this and here, and I went to this. And I think this is a cry. I think this is an urgent cry for us as a church to rend our heart before the Lord. What would the Lord do if we came and humbled ourselves and rend our heart before the Lord? You see here that it includes everyone. And it names all the people. Gather the people, the elders, the children, even the babies, even the newlyweds. Poor guys. But I think it points to the fact that this is an interruption. It is a now. It's a call to everyone. That this takes priority, and everyone should come together with the same heart, the same cry to the Lord. Save us. Show us your way. Provide for us, or we'll perish. And we see here how the Lord is just and compassionate and loving, how he's jealous for his people. He loves his people. And he hears their cry, and he sends blessing. And he leaves them, what does it say? Fully satisfied. So much of So much of the idea, the concept, or the practice of fasting is about that hunger and what we do with that hunger. And crazy as it may be, bringing hunger on ourselves, upon ourselves, so that we might direct that hunger towards God, towards being hungry for the things of God. And look what it says that the Lord sends. That God satisfies their hunger completely, fully, and sends to satisfy their hunger three things: grain, wine, and oil. The same things that were devastated by the plague of locusts. You should read in Joel 2. It's fascinating how they describe the plague of locusts as being like an army, a conquering army that swept over everything. But God satisfies their hunger with bread, wine, and oil. And you think, bread, wine, and oil, right? They're an agricultural people. These are important things to them. And yes. But as I prayed and fasted and thought about this and read and studied, the bread, wine, and oil have become also my prayer for us as a church. That God would fill us and satisfy us with these three things that are very symbolic and are seen together, the three products or the three things over and over in the Bible. Grain or bread, wine or the fruit of the vine, and the oil, the olive oil. And so you can probably imagine the bread and the wine being the symbolic of the Lord's Supper. The bread, the body of Christ. The wine, the blood of Christ. And the oil being that anointing oil, that anointing, healing, power-giving oil of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so my prayer from these three things simply for us as a church is that we would experience the healing of the body, the bread, that we would experience through our time of fasting and of prayer healing of the body, that I could name and tell stories of people that I'm praying for that they would be healed, and I know you most likely are too. The wine is the forgiving, the saving blood of Jesus, that we would experience salvation and see people come to the Lord and be forgiven and be saved. And the oil, the anointing oil, that we would see God anoint us as people, as a congregation, and that there would be new ministries and new anointing in our church. This moves me, and I'm excited about that. So as a basis for our call to fasting, we see this desperate people, and I pray that God would give us that sense of urgency and desperation. I called a friend who I know is much more practiced in fasting than I am, and I said, Mike, if you were to share with people what is fasting and why do you fast and why is it so important? And he said, prayer is like fire. If prayer is like fire, fasting is like gasoline on the fire. When you fast, along with your praying, the heat intensifies. The experience intensifies. And so if you can think about fasting like putting gasoline, putting lighter fluid, putting something on your prayer life that brings new life and new heat to it, I want that. So what is fasting? What is fasting? Fasting is when we deny ourselves good things, things that we enjoy and we seek for comfort for a period of time in order to use that hunger to intentionally draw closer to God. Fasting is when we deny ourselves good things, things we enjoy and we seek for comfort. But we do it intentionally for a period of time in order to use that hunger, that where we're missing something, to intentionally draw closer to God. So my prayer is that for each of us, we would take a step forward in fasting during these 40 days. Perhaps you would want to set a goal for yourself to fast twice during the 40 days. And we'll talk more about how you might do that. But maybe you would want to set a goal to fast each week. Maybe you would want to set a goal where you begin slowly and you work up towards the last week of our 40 days with a more involved, intense, longer fast, perhaps. But my goal is that each of us would consider and would take a step forward and take a move forward in our fasting life. So how should we fast? I want to leave these three scriptures with you. You might read those and reflect on those this week. But there are also some traps that can come with fasting. When we think about how we should fast, there's some things that the scripture tells us about how we should do that and what we should avoid. Some dangers also in fasting. One of them could be that it is kind of a formalism. It's something that we're all doing. I'm doing this because. Another might be that, well, such and such is doing this type of fast. I need to step it up. Definitely not a competition either. Those are some traps that come with fasting. The scripture also talks about how the Pharisees did it so that others would see them fasting. Exhibitionism. It's not about others seeing your devout you might be in your fasting. So there's some dangers there. There's some scriptures that we have given for you to take a look at around fasting in the how we should fast. So how long does a fast last? the Bible shares just about any lengths that you can imagine. 1 day fast, 3 day fast, the one with Queen Esther that many of us are, that we remember and are familiar with. 7 day fasts, such as David's, 14 day fasts, 21 days, 40 days for the extreme heroes of the Bible. Moses, Elijah, and Jesus did 40 days day fasts. Perhaps a half-day fast would be good for you and I to begin. Chuckles, I know. But when we're out of the practice of fasting, which I don't know if you are, but for me, I have been. And so to begin slowly is enough. But the idea is to begin. So what can you fast? The important thing here is not how long or what you fast, but it's your heart, it's your attitude, it's your approach to the fasting. It is a prayerful approach to asking God, what would you have me do? What could I fast and how long? The intention and replacing one thing with the other really is what fasting comes down to. Instead of doing this, I'm intentionally stopping this and I'm replacing it with this. And that's when God is honored and works and moves in our lives. When we intentionally decide to replace one thing with another in order to draw closer to Him. So the Bible talks about total fasts. There's some fasts mentioned that are really extreme circumstances. When persons did total fasts, which means no food and no water at all, my guess would be we would probably select from some of the others, but just so that you know, there are times when that took place in the scriptures. Fasting from food. You think, well, that's obvious, yes. But when the Bible speaks of fasting, unless it otherwise specifies, what the Bible is talking about is abstaining from food and drinking only water. So that's one type of fast that you might do, say for 24 hours, or for half a day. The Bible also talks about partial fasts, which is a good place to start. It was for me. I chose to do a fast recently where I did just liquids, and just fasted from one meal a day, And it helped me to draw closer to God. Trust me, it caused hunger pangs in me that helped me to draw closer to God. So partial fast, we'll see in the Bible that this was a fast that usually we think about partial fast related to Daniel and his friends when they abstained from certain types of foods. And instead of sugary foods or high-fat foods, just ate fruits and vegetables. So this might be a type of fasting that would be something you would want to do. Remember, fasting is not dieting. It's different. There's some scriptures here that you can read and think about partial fasts. Another type of fast that you might consider is a non-food fast, abstaining from something other than, not speaking of food, but abstaining from something else, perhaps electronics, perhaps something that you enjoy doing. Instead of doing that, replace it with something else. Cell phone, weekend outings. The cool thing here about fasting is this gives us an opportunity to also be creative and personal in this practice with the Lord. And by that I mean, it's not about what you fast or how long, but about the intentionality. I heard a testimony from a man who decided to fast at work on his lunch hour. But it wasn't fasting from the eating, the food, but instead it was changing the place where he ate his lunch at work. And instead of eating at the table with all the guys and shooting the bull during lunch hour, chose to do that in a different place and read scripture and pray while he was eating lunch and during work. And I thought that was a great example of being creative and finding something that helps him to draw closer. I know that many of our weeks, our routines, and our schedules are such that there's certain times for fasting that would be impractical. But the thing is, there's always a way if you'll ask the Lord and be creative about how you can fast. So why do we want to fast as a church? Why is it why do we not just do a 40 days of prayer? And I think, once again, gas on the fire. It's an intentional way for us to do more than what we have before, to draw closer to the Lord, to experience something new. So we need a new movement of the Holy Spirit. We want God to come and fill our church family with his presence, to give us direction for the future, to help us to love him and our neighbors more. We want to grow. We want to see new converts. We want to see new baptisms. We want to focus more on evangelism and on discipleship. As a body, we need spiritual protection and for Christ to expel the power of Satan from our city. Let's ask him to do all these things. So really quickly, how should I prepare for this? How do I leave here today and take this and actually do something with it? How to get started? Start with a goal. Why are you fasting? What is it that you're going to be praying for? Why are you fasting? Have a clear goal about why you're doing this. Otherwise, it's probably not going to last and it's probably not going to be a good experience. Start with something very clear. Write it down. Why are you fasting? Choose a type of fast. Talk to us. Choose here. Research. Google it. but choose a type of fast that you want to do. What type of fast will work for you? What is the Lord calling you to? Number three, choose the length of the fast. Use wisdom, prayer, and start slow. Do something that you can accomplish. You have 40 days, so try some different things. Start slow, choose something. Choose one day or a half day or a partial fast. Choose something that you can abstain from that'll help you to draw closer to God. Number four on the back, create a plan. Be intentional. Share with someone. Write it on your prayer card. Post it on the wall. Say, I'm doing this. What will you do during the hours when you would normally eat or when you would normally do this? What will you do instead? Have a plan. Prepare yourself physically. If you have health issues, talk to your doctor. Use wisdom. But the thing is, there are types of fasts that you can do. for all of us, no matter the age or who we are or our condition or what we're doing or what our weekly schedule is, there are ways that all of us can fast. Prepare yourself spiritually. Prepare yourself for change. Prepare yourself for the Lord bringing conviction to your heart. Prepare yourself for resistance. The enemy's not going to be happy with you drawing closer to God. Incredibly grateful to be a part of this church body and to be living these 40 days together with you. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we need you. We ask that you would come and move and convict our hearts and provide us opportunity. Show us the steps you would have us take. Help us to be obedient, Lord. Help us to have an attitude of urgency as the people in Joel did. Lord God, help us to support one another. Help us to take new steps in our prayer and fasting lives during these 40 days. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would come and visit our homes and visit our prayer lives, visit our activities that we have planned. More than anything, God, our desire is to grow and to know you deep, know you more, Lord, to encounter you more frequently and to encounter you more deeply, Lord, and to know how we might pray also for one another to be more informed. And so, Lord Jesus, we are trusting and believing by faith that this time together that we choose to walk in intentionally will change the shape of our own lives and the life of our church into the future. It's for your glory and for your